सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो यस्टरडे वी डिस्कस्ड द प्रेयर्स ऑफर्ड बाय द रेजिडेंट्स ऑफ भद्राश्रव वर्ष हेडेड बाय भद्राश्रवस to Lord Hayagriva, and then we discuss the prayers offered by Prahlad Maharaj and the residents of Harivarsha to Lord Narasingadev, and then the third set of prayers we are discussing, the prayers offered by Lakshmi Devi along with the Samvatsara and his 360,000 sons and daughters who represent the presiding deities of the different days and nights. We are discussing these prayers which are being offered to Lord Kamadeva, and these prayers are offered, these are residents of Ketu Mala Varsha. So the Lakshmi Devi's prayers, so the 19th verse, Lakshmi Devi said that she actually, she was talking about those women who worship the Supreme Lord with mixed bhakti. In other words, those women, those who worship the Supreme Lord in order to get a husband other than the Supreme Lord. So Lakshmi Devi is like taking pity on those women. And then in the next verse, so she says that the husbands of this world, because they are dependent on their own karma, they are dependent on their own karma, kala and time, and their own activities, so therefore they cannot actually give proper protection to others. But because these women do not have knowledge of this, because they are unintelligent, they are actually worshipping the Supreme Lord. And then the next verse, Lakshmi Devi said, how the Supreme Lord is a perfect master, because he is fearless, only he can actually give, he can award fearlessness to others, he can actually give protection to others who are actually fearful. On the other hand, all other living entities, they are fearful of each other, so therefore they cannot actually give proper protection to others. And then the 21st verse, Lakshmi Devi said that that those devotees who worship the Supreme Lord without any material desire, so such devotees, their desires are fulfilled by the Lord automatically. The Lord, without those devotees asking something, the Lord actually naturally fulfills their desires. On the other hand, and also those devotees who actually worship the Lord with a material desire, Lord fulfills their desire also. But then, those devotees actually, they become sorrowful later, because once their material benefits are taken away. you also quickly fulfill their desires, but in the end, she becomes broken-hearted and laments. So therefore, one need not worship your lotus feet for some material benefit. So Lakshmi Devi is essentially requesting everyone to actually worship the Lord without any material motivation. So now we'll go to the 22nd verse. That is mentioned in the I think Vishnu Chakravarti's purport in the 15th verse translation it is 15th verse translation. The Prajapati Samvatsara represents here the 360 days are his actually the days are actually males and females are actually nights. So 360 multiplied by 100. So 36,000 males and 36,000 females, they are the sons and daughters of Prajapati Samvatsara. And they are the preceding deities of the days and nights. 22nd verse. Matpraptaye jesha surasuradayas tapyanta vugram tapa aindriyediya rite bhavat pada parayananamam vindantyakam tvad hridayaya tojita.
And demons undergo severe penance and austerities to receive my invitation. But I do not favor anyone, however great he may be, unless he is always engaged in the service on your lotus feet. Because I always keep you within my heart, I cannot favor anyone but a devotee.
So here Lakshmi Devi is very clearly saying here, because usually people worship Lakshmi Devi, but they are not interested in worshipping Narayan. But here Lakshmi Devi is actually is a direct statement spoken by Lakshmi Devi, where she says, Mat Prapt, she is addressing the Lord by the word Ajita, O unconquerable Lord. Mat Praptaye Aja Isha Sura Asura Adaya. So Mat Praptaye, in order to actually obtain my favor, to obtain my mercy, Aja, Lord Brahma, Isha, Lord Shiva, Asura, Sura, the different demigods and the demons, and etc., Adaya, Tapyanta Ugram Tapa Aindriye Diya. They perform very severe austerity. Ugra, Tapyanta Ugram means very severe austerities. Aindriye Diya. With their minds completely absorbed in thoughts of sense gratification. Prabhupada gives a translation, in thoughts of superior sense gratification. With their minds completely absorbed in thoughts of superior sense gratification, in order to get those sense gratification, in order to get my mercy to obtain the sense gratification, all these Brahma, Lord Shiva and all these demigods, they perform severe tapasya. But rite bhavat pada parayanam namam. But they do not attain me unless they surrender to your lotus feet. Bhavat pada parayanam. Rite means unless they surrender, unless they are wholly and solely engaged in your lotus feet, the service of your lotus feet, bhavat pada parayana, they do not actually attain my favor, because I am constantly meditating upon your lotus feet. Tvat hridaya yato. Because I am actually, in my mind, you are always there. I cannot favor anyone but your devotee. So very important verse. So here Prabhupada writes here, when people actually worship Lakshmi Devi to get material benefits, when they get their material benefits, those material benefits are offered not by Lakshmi Devi, but by Durga Devi. So people actually worship with this mantra, Dhanam Dehi, Rupam Dehi, Rupa Pati Bajam Dehi. So by pleasing Kadas Durga one can obtain such benefits, but since they are temporary, they result only in Maya Sukha. And then he quotes Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, Maya Sukhaya Bhavam Udvakato Vimudan. And then he says, but on the other hand, we see that even pure devotees like Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, they also actually have extraordinary material benefits. But those material benefits, they are not compared to Maya Sukha. They are actually direct gifts of the goddess of fortune who resides in the heart of Narayan. So that is another point Prabhupada says. So then he explains that how the benefits obtained from Durga Devi, they are actually temporary. Antavattu phalam tesham tadbhavati alpamedasam. They are temporary and they are vanquished anytime. So then in the second paragraph, he makes another important point. So he extends his principle of going to Lakshmi Devi in order to get material benefit, even to the, he extends this to the a person who approaches a spiritual master for getting something material. So he says that one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but he was not interested in preaching Krishna consciousness, but he was interested in some property. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave that property to him. But the empowerment to preach Krishna consciousness was not awarded to that disciple. So he says the special mercy of the power to preach is given to a devotee to whom such a mercy is given. To such a devotee who does not want anything material. Who does not want anything material from his spiritual master, but only wants to serve him. Then he gives the example, because like Ravana simply wanted to enjoy sense gratification. He simply wanted to actually enjoy Sita. He couldn't actually he could not even touch Sita. He could only actually abduct the Maya Sita. He thought that it is a real Sita, but he actually got Maya Sita. So then Sita was that Sita was an expansion of she's not real Sita, but an expansion of Maya. So as a result, instead of winning the favor of Goddess of Fortune, his whole family was vanquished by the power of Durga Devi. So this is a beautiful. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes almost the same points he mentions in the purport. This particular story of how Ravan could not actually touch the Maya Sita, this comes in the, I think, the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela in Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour. Mahaprabhu meets this one Brahmana called as Ramdas Vipra in Madurai. So this particular Brahmana was an ardent devotee of Lord Ram, and when he was reading Ramayana, when he read this section of Sita being kidnapped by Ravan, he became so morose that although Mahaprabhu came to his house, but because of his moroseness, he could not even cook for Mahaprabhu. Then Mahaprabhu actually explained to him that how Ravan actually kidnapped, Ravan could only take away the Maya Sita, but not the real Sita. And then the Brahmana became slightly pacified, and then he cooked for Mahaprabhu. And then later Mahaprabhu went from Madurai, and he went to, I think, Rameshwaram, some other place. He went to Rameshwaram, and when he went to Rameshwaram, in Rameshwaram, he saw that the temple of Lord Shiva, he saw some Brahmanas were actually reading Kurmapuram. This is in Madurai. He was reading Kurma Puran, and in that Kurma Puran, the description was given there was Shastric Praman which tells that how Ravan could only touch the Maya Sita but not the real Sita. So then Mahaprabhu, when he saw that, he actually, what he did was, he took the original book and he hand copied that original book. He gave the copy of the original book to those Brahmanas and he took the original book with him. And although from Rameshwaram, Mahaprabhu was supposed to go to some other place, but he again came back to Madurai. He changed his direction, again came back to Madurai, just to show this reference from the Kurma Puran to this particular Brahmana. So, how Ravan could not touch the Maya Sita. Ravan could only take away the Maya Sita. In one class, in the South India Yatra, some years back when he had gone, actually Sadhana Swami Maharaj was explaining that, just like Mahaprabhu took the original copy of Kurma Puran and he gave the hand-copied version to those Brahmanas. So he said, similarly, some years back, he met one Professor Lawson, whom actually Prabhupada met in the initial days in the Butler, Pennsylvania. Prabhupada gave some lecture there. And to that Professor Lawson, Prabhupada gave his one of the first Bhagavatam sets, in which he actually personally made a signature and then gave that one of those first Bhagavatam sets to that particular professor. Either to the professor or to that college or something. So when Maharaj heard that, see, he wanted to, because that was like a very rare Bhagavatam set, just actually Prabhupada personally like put a signature and personally gave that, he wanted to actually get that Bhagavatam set. So that was, although there was only few volumes of the first canto, so Maharaj offered him one full new Bhagavatam set with 12 cantos and actually exchanged that with that original Bhagavatam set of only 3 volumes. He said, we also followed in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and took the original copy and gave the later copy. So next verse. Satvam namapyachyuta shishni vanditam karambujam yatvadadai satvatam bibarshimam lakshmavarenya mayaya kayishvarasyehitamihitum viburiti.
Prabhu, I can ask some quick question from the previous purport. I always had a question about this. Sri Chakravarti Thakur says here that the wealth seen with persons who are not devotees is a result of their karma or is given by the mercy of Durga, Maya Shakti. Such bestowal is occasional and it's arising from the waves of lust. It is not given by me, Lakshmi. Because whatever is given by Lakshmi is born of Swarup Shakti.
Yes.
So, and then he's saying that wealth arising from my mercy is not given if the person does not worship you. That is Krishna. The reason is given. I meditate on you and I will glance upon those who fix their minds on you.
Yeah.
So, in this connection, I had a question. We say Mahatmanastu Maam Partha Daivim Prakriti Mashritaha. You know, we worship the Lord Swarup Shakti with the desire to attain awakening of love for Krishna. We worship her only first before the Lord. So here she says that I will glance upon those who fix their minds on you, she says. So what is the difference between these two things? Like, Karmis, of course, they worship Durga or they worship Lakshmi with a material motivation. But we worship Lakshmi or Radharani with a spiritual motivation. So, that is not being spoken here. He says that those who fix your... Because we don't worship Krishna directly. You can say something about that.
In the sense, even devotees, they actually seek the favor of goddess of fortune or the spiritual energy of the Supreme Lord. But
songs like Radhe Radhe Shyam Milade, you know, which they sing in Vrindavan, that is not our Gaudiya Vaishnava mood. You know, we don't pray to Radhe so that, you know, we can ultimately forget Radhe and worship only Shyam. And that is not our mood. We will all eternally be assistants of the servants of Srimati Radharani. You know, and then the service offerable will be offered by her to Krishna. You know, so that is the mood of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, he said. Whereas there are some sampradayas which think that Radharani is very helpful in getting Krishna. Yeah, I think Satyananda Maharaj, somebody said about that. This is not, that's why we don't sing such songs. So that kind of thing is not being spoken here. Here it talks about those who are aiming at Krishna. She will also glance at them and nourish their devotion. Like that point is mentioned here.
This, like, when you want to please Srimati Radharani, like if a person is interested in pleasing the spiritual energy of the Lord, Lakshmi Devi or God, Srimati Radharani, then one will also understand the sense that if a person is really interested in pleasing, we will know that what actually pleases that personality more. So then naturally the devotee will also want to serve the Supreme Lord, because he understands that Lakshmi Devi is pleased that when we engage in the service of the Lord. At the same time, he also knows that we cannot approach Krishna directly, we have to approach only through her. So in that sense, a devotee will also, in the sense, worship the Lord, even if a person is wanting to please the spiritual energy, that he will know that because this is what pleases the Lakshmi Devi. At the same time, you will know that Krishna will be more pleased that when we come through Srimati Radharani. So therefore he approaches through her. But in the case of the materialists, they are not interested, they are not at all interested in Narayan, they are only interested in the, they are also not interested in pleasing Lakshmi also, in the sense. They are basically interested in actually their money, and for that they are just using Lakshmi as a tool. In the case of devotee, they are interested in one sense pleasing Krishna, so therefore they want to approach through Srimati Radharani. And they are also interested in pleasing Srimati Radharani by actually trying to serve the Lord. So next verse, okay. This is the last of the series of prayers of Lakshmi Devi. In the translation.
O infallible one, your lotus palm is the source of all benediction. Therefore, your pure devotees worship it, and you very mercifully place your hand on their heads. I wish that you may also place your hand on my head, for although you already bear my insignia of golden streaks on your chest, I regard this honor as merely a kind of false prestige for me. You show your real mercy to your devotees, not to me. Of course, you are the Supreme Absolute Controller, and no one can understand your motives.
So here, Lakshmi Devi is actually, she is offering a prayer to the Supreme Lord here. She is asking for something from the Supreme Lord. So she says that to your pure devotees, you show mercy to them by keeping your hands upon those pure devotees. But you never show such mercy to me. You never keep your hand upon my head. So please show such mercy which you show to your pure devotees in the form of keeping your lotus hands upon my head. Please place my hand on my head. And I feel that this is the real mercy. And I don't consider, Lord is saying that, but then I have given you a special position on my chest. So Lakshmi Devi says, actually I regard this honor as merely a kind of false prestige for me. But actually you are giving your real mercy to your devotees, not to me. So please award such mercy to me also. So there's a very beautiful purport. I will just read this purport of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So Lakshmi Devi is saying here, I am actually worshipped by like Brahmaji and others. But although I am worshipped by Brahmaji and others, but I am your wife. And I do not attain the fortune which a devotee who worships you with no material desires attain. I do not achieve such a fortune of the devotee who worships with no material desires. So I am very unfortunate that though you reside, though I am always meditating upon your though you always reside in my heart, but still, please put your lotus hand on my head, which you place on the heads of your devotees. And this lotus hand is praised by the sages as the bestower of fortunate mercy. So therefore, please actually place your hand upon my head. Then Lord is saying, but actually you have such fortune which is greater than others, because I am eternally holding you on my chest. So Lakshmi Devi says, actually, so at this time Lakshmi Devi becomes very ashamed. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Lakshmi Devi, out of shamefulness, she is actually covering her face with a sari. And then in a low voice she says, you hold me on your chest as a golden lion, but that is only deception. That is by deception. And you do this because you think seeing the good fortune of my devotees, may intelligent Lakshmi not show hatred to me. Just so that Lakshmi Devi will not hate me by seeing the kind of mercy I show to my pure devotees. Yes, so that she doesn't hate me. So therefore, let me actually keep her on my chest. It's not that you are actually pleased with me, just so that just to pacify me, just so that you don't want to bring out my anger. So therefore, externally you are actually kept me on the chest. So this was done without sincerity. So then Lakshmi Devi says, then the Supreme Lord says, but you are saying like that, but nobody says like this. Nobody actually says that I have placed you on my chest only because that you don't become angry with me. So then Lakshmi Devi says, actually, who can speculate about your desires? Then Lakshmi Devi quotes this verse, actually, I have secretly heard what you have spoken to your devotee Uddhava. To your devotee Uddhava, you have said that Natatame Priyatama Atma Yonirna Shankara Naja Sankarshano Nashri Naivatmacha Yata Bhavan. So this comes in Uddhava Gita, where Krishna says that neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Sankarshan, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self is as dear to me as you are. So I have heard this secret utterance of yours, that in which you say that your pure devotee is more dear to you than even Brahma, Shiva or myself. So don't, so I know the fact, like that Lakshmi Devi is saying. So we hear, so the essential thing, the essential lesson what we hear, learn from this particular verse is that Lakshmi Devi is not seeking, is not simply satisfied with some official mercy. She feels that Lord is keeping her on the chest. She is feeling that Lord has only given mercy officially. Sometimes if a person is in a particular position or is having a particular post, so a spiritual master, he may spend time with him, or he may actually give some, he may talk to him for some time, etc. But so similarly, Lakshmi Devi is feeling that because I am having some official post, so therefore you are actually giving some official mercy. But I want real mercy which you show to your pure devotees. So therefore, please place your hand upon my head. So in that sense, this mood is important. Like, just like for example, a similar mood was adopted by Advaita Acharya also. So because Advaita Acharya is described that, last week there was a class in which when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Advaita Acharya was already something like 50 years old or something. If I forget. Something like 50 years. So Advaita Acharya was like much elder to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always respect Advaita Acharya. But Advaita Acharya felt that I don't want such mercy. I want actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to accept me as a servant. So therefore he spoke that Mayavad philosophy, and then when Mahaprabhu came and chastised him, so Advaita Acharya was in great ecstasy. In the sense, like, a sincere devotee, like sometimes in a, like in an organization of this one, sometimes a spiritual master or a GB says, like, one may have to spend time with a person who has taken a particular post. But even though one may actually spend time with him, but he is actually pleased with a devotee who is genuinely in the mood of servant of others. Sometimes one should not be just satisfied with official mercy. One should actually seek for the actual mercy in which the Lord accepts him as a servant, Lord is giving some time because I'm holding this post or something. So Lakshmi Devi is actually having that deep sincerity, that therefore she is actually asking the Lord to please place his hand upon her. Just like for example, even in the case of Daksha Prajapati also, it is described that Lord appeared in front to Daksha Prajapati. Lord told Daksha Prajapati, I am very pleased with you because your desire is same as my desire. You want to actually increase the population, and that is also my desire, so therefore I am very pleased with you. So it is not that Daksha Prajapati, it was more for an official reason, because Daksha was a Prajapati, was in a particular post, so therefore Lord was actually pleased with. But Daksha Prajapati, he didn't have that, he was satisfied with that official mercy. Unlike Lakshmi Devi, where Lakshmi Devi is actually seeking that please place your hand upon me. But Daksha Prajapati was satisfied with that official mercy. He didn't go much deeper, so therefore he ended up offending Narada Muni also. So in the sense, Lakshmi Devi is praying for actual mercy and not just satisfied with official mercy. Of course, this is Lakshmi Devi is feeling, from her point of view, she is feeling that, oh, Lord has actually given them official mercy. But of course, the Lord is actually pleased with Lakshmi Devi also. That is why he has given the post, that particular position to Lakshmi Devi. But we see in many verses in the Bhagavatam, which says that how the Supreme Lord loves his pure devotees more than his own consort. So one is Natatatama Priyatama, the verse which I read. Another verse is from the Damodar Leela, which says that Nemam Virinchina Bhavo Nashrir Apyanga Shamshaya Prasadam Lebire Gopi Tattat Prapya Vimuktidat. That Mother Yashoda achieved such mercy which was never achieved by even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, even by Lakshmi Devi. And then the another verse from the Uddhava meeting the residents of Vrindavan. This verse was spoken by spoken by Uddhava at the end of the chapter, 10th canto, 47th chapter, where Uddhava is saying that he is actually glorifying the gopis of Vrindavan. How the gopis of Vrindavan they received such mercy from Krishna during the Ras Leela, which was not obtained even by the goddess of fortune. So then Prabhupada quotes this conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkatapatta in Srirangam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once inquired from Venkatapatta that your Lakshmi Devi is so chaste and she always remains in the chest of Supreme Lord Narayan. But then why did she actually perform austerities in order to participate in Krishna's Ras Leela? Then Venkatapatta says, he felt that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is questioning about the chastity of Lakshmi Devi. That Lakshmi Devi is the wife of Narayan, but then why is she performing austerities to take part in Krishna's Ras Leela? So Venkatapatta answers by saying, actually there is no difference between Krishna and Narayan, and they are the same personality. So therefore Lakshmi's association with Krishna did not break her vow of chastity. So he answers in that way. And then he says that actually by associating with Krishna, she could enjoy the benefit of rasa dance, and therefore there is no fault in Lakshmi Devi wanting to take part in the rasa dance. So please do not joke with me like this. So then Mahaprabhu says, but then, okay, I understand that there is no fault in the character of Lakshmi Devi. But then the question is that still Lakshmi Devi could not enter the rasa dance. Why could she not enter the rasa dance? In fact, the sages of Dandakaranya, they could actually enter the rasa dance. But Lakshmi Devi was not allowed entry. So what is the reason? So at that time Venkatapatta says, actually I cannot enter into these deep pastimes of the Lord, this mystery of these pastimes. I am an ordinary person and I have very limited intelligence. So how can I understand the pastimes of the Lord, which are actually deeper than millions of oceans? Then Mahaprabhu says, actually Krishna has such a specific characteristic. So Krishna's sweetness is not present even in the character of Lord Narayan. So Krishna has those four special characteristics which are not present even in the character of Lord Narayan. And therefore Lakshmi Devi wanted to actually taste that Krishna's sweetness. But then in order to enter the Krishna's Ras Leela, one has to follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. Without being a follower, the residents of Vrindavan, one cannot enter. But because Lakshmi Devi did not give up, did not try to follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan, so therefore she could not enter. Unaware that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the residents of Vrindavan, like Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi and the gopis treat Krishna as their beloved son or lover. And Krishna's cowherd boyfriends think he is an ordinary boy and get up on his shoulders. So, but because Lakshmi Devi did not fall in the residents of Vrindavan, so therefore she could not enter. The conclusion is that unless a person follows in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, one cannot actually enter Krishna's pastimes directly. So in that way Prabhupada concludes this purport. So now the next series of prayers start. So this is the prayers offered by Vaivasvata Manu to Lord Matsya, to Matsyavatar in the Ramyaka Varsha.
Shukadeva Goswami continued.
Yeah, read.
In Ramyaka Varsha, where Vaivasvata Manu rules, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Matsya at the end of the last era, Chakshusha Manvantara. Vaivasvata Manu now worships Lord Matsya in pure devotional service and chants the following mantra.
Yeah, the mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Mukhya Tamaya Namasattvaya Pranayaujase Sahase Balaya Mahamatsyaya Namayiti.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is pure transcendence. He is the origin of all life, bodily strength, mental power and sensory ability. Known as Matsyavatar, the gigantic fish incarnation, he appears first amongst all the incarnations Again, I offer my obeisances unto him.
So here Prabhupada says, Mukhya Tamaya means, because Matsya Avatar was the first incarnation to appear, so therefore he is called as Mukhya Tama. And Vishnu Chakotaku says that Mukhya Tamaya Sattvaya means Shuddha Sattva. And because he is the controller of life here, Bala, Prana, life here, the controller of the energy of the senses, mind and body, and he is also the great fish, Maha Matsyaya Namayiti. So Prabhupada also writes that how the Lord's body, even if he appears as a fish incarnation, he is actually in the mode of pure goodness. So next verse. Antarbhishcha kila loka palakair adrishta rupo vicharasyurusvana sa ishvarastvam yayidam vashenayan namna yata darumayim narastriyam.
My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls and a husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all the living entities in the universe, such as the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. Although you are in everyone's heart as the supreme witness and commander and are outside everyone as well, the so-called leaders of societies, communities and countries cannot realize you. Only those who hear the vibrations of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you.
So here he says that you are antar bahir chakila loka palakair, the protectors of the universe, adrishta rupo, you are unseen by the protectors of the universe. And unseen by the protectors of the universe, vicharasi means you wander inside and outside of everything, antar bahi. And although you wander here and there, but you are Urusvanai. Urusvanai means you are present in the Vedas. Or Prabhupada says that your lordship, you are actually present in the Vedic sound vibration, or you can be realized by chanting the Vedic mantras. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic hymns can appreciate you. So there Prabhupada makes this point. So you are present in the Vedas, and sa ishvarastvam ya idam vashe. Vashe means you control. You are the Supreme Lord who controls the universe through the rules which take various names. Through the rules which take various names, that means the Lord has created the system of Varnashram system, and he has given different rules and duties for people in different Varnas and Ashramas. So he says that in this way you actually control everyone through the different rules which take various names. And then the last line, there is an analogy given. Yata darumayim narastriyam. Just like a master controls a female puppet. So Vishnu Chakradhara explains, when Vaivasvata Manu is saying, you move everywhere, inside and outside, and you are unseen by the protectors of the devatas. The Lord asks, does that mean that I do not exist? And the Lord says, no. Vaivasvata Manu says, no, you are the sound composed of the Vedas. The Vedas proclaim your existence in every word, Urusvanai. And you are the Lord who controls the universe by being the shelter of the rules and forbiddances with the name of the Brahmanas and others. So Prabhupada, in his purport, the first paragraph, he also quotes a verse from Queen Kunti's prayer that what is that? Nato natya daro yata. How did it start? Maya javanika channam Agya Dokshajam Avyayam Nalakshase Mudadrisha Nato Natya Daro Yata. That how the, because Queen Kunti, when she saw that how Krishna was inside the womb of Uttara and then protected with like Parishit Maharaj, and Krishna is also outside, so by that Krishna, Queen Kunti is making this prayer. And then he says that how Krishna exists everywhere, sarva bhutanam hridayeshu, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayeshu Arjuna tishtati. The second paragraph, Prabhupada explains this analogy. So, yata darumayim narastriyam. A woman is compared to a doll because she has no independence. And she should always be controlled by a man. Still, due to false prestige, a class of women wants to remain independent. And what to speak of women, all living entities are prakriti and therefore dependent on the Supreme Lord. So especially in Prabhupada's purports, different places, apart from the purports where Prabhupada talks about the Siddhanta, we see different purports Prabhupada talks about the Vedic culture, about the roles of man, women, the family. Like we discussed many purports we discussed the Puranjan section, the psychology of man and women. And Prabhupada, many places he condemns about modern education, scientists, etc. So especially, many times in one sense it is also easy to accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. But then when it comes to accepting these statements about, it could be, for some people it could be about demigod worship, Prabhupada condemning demigod worship, some people may not be able to accept. Because they have some people they may not be able to accept Prabhupada's statements on scientists, or somebody else it could be on like a modern education, or somebody else it could be on like the psychology of a woman, etc. So sometimes people think that, these statements are something wrong, or you may think like that. But if you see, there was one devotee from New York. He had come to our temple few years back, and he was sharing his experiences of preaching in New York. So he was talking about the difficulties of preaching there. So he said that especially in that culture, people are even as a small baby, they take liquefied beef. So even a small baby, mother would feed the liquefied beef. It was right from the childhood, right from the womb, as a few months baby, they are used to actually taking meat and beef, etc. And to preach to such people about vegetarianism, how meat eating is bad and vegetarianism is good. And such people, they feel, when we talk about that, they feel that as if we are saying that, breathing is bad. Or, suppose to Indians, if somebody comes and says that, rice and dal are not good for health. Like, we may think that as a, because we are used to taking rice and dal right from the childhood, and somebody comes and says, do not take rice and dal. Rice, dal, chapati are actually bad for health. So we may see that person as if, you are saying that, why are you saying that breathing is bad? Like, we may have that kind of attitude towards the person. So, but actually, those people who are actually used to eating meat, but if they become little open-minded, if they see, they may feel that actually how can we exist without eating meat? They may feel that it's not possible only. How can meat eating be bad? Because our parents and everyone around us, they are actually eating. We may think like that. But if they try to be open-minded, there are so many other people who are existing, who are actually living very healthily by eating a vegetarian diet. And it is only because of my conditioning I am thinking like that. But there are many other people who are actually leading a much more healthy life by eating vegetarian diet, and when they become little open-minded, they can actually understand about the ill effects of meat eating, etc. So because we are actually, when a person is coming in a certain upbringing, and because he is surrounded by people with the same upbringing, so because of that, when he hears statements about, say, vegetarianism or meat eating is bad, so they have a very negative feeling towards those people. They feel that it is completely impossible, it is something wrong. So it is not because, so similarly, the same principle with respect to Prabhupada's statements about, so the Vedic culture, like those people, they may, like when somebody is preaching about vegetarianism or meat eating is bad, then those people may say, look at that devotee with a very strange look. But even in our case also, suppose grown up in upbringing, like right from a childhood, whenever you go to a function, the parents would say that you should also become like him, you should also study in a college like him, you should also become like engineer or a doctor like him. Like, so right from a childhood, that kind of impression is that, oh, I should become like a doctor, I should go to this college, I should... Like, we always look towards, oh, this education is the highest. And then when you read Prabhupada's statements, oh, modern education is actually Sartre's education. So it is because we have been brought up in an upbringing right from the childhood, we have been actually, all those impressions are, oh, this is good, this is... And then we are also surrounded by people who actually glorify modern education. And then when we read these statements, we think that only Prabhupada is telling something wrong. We may also feel that, just like the person may think, say that, oh, breathing is bad. We may say, oh, why Prabhupada is condemning modern education? We may be thinking Prabhupada is, why Prabhupada is saying breathing is bad? So it is because of our upbringing and because we are surrounded by people with the same upbringing. But if we try to be open-minded, and if we try to be open-minded, if we try to study the modern education, how it has actually spoiled, and if we try to see there are people without the modern education, how they are actually, how they have developed into a much, their character was much good, much better than those people who actually went into modern education, we may actually get that conviction. Same principle with respect to, like, for example, here Prabhupada is talking about like women's liberation, etc. So because one devotee was telling that in the temple they were having some Bhagavatam discussion, and there were some statements of Prabhupada about like this kind of Vedic culture, and some of the devotees got very much disturbed. How can it be true? Like, one purport Prabhupada writes that, oh, women is considered as an obstacle for a man's spiritual life. Some other statement he writes. So some devotees got very much disturbed. They're serious devotees. So in that sense, what I'm saying is that because, like, they have been brought up in a certain upbringing, so because of that, and they're also surrounded by people with the same cultural, this one, they felt actually very much, they were not able to immediately take it. But if we try to study the Vedic culture, if we try to develop a right understanding, then we can actually develop a proper understanding of this. So, and Prabhupada also talks about Daridra Narayan worship. So he says that the following Vedic mantra confirms this point. Foolish persons think that Narayan to be on the platform of ordinary material existence. Because they do not realize the natural constitutional position of the living entity, they concoct names like Daridra Narayan, Swami Narayan, or Mithya Narayan. However, Narayan is actually the supreme controller of everyone. This understanding is self-realization. Next verse. Yam lokapala kila matsarajvara kitva yatanto piprutak sametya cha patum nashekur dvipatascha tushpada sarishrupam stanu yadatra drishyate.
My Lord, from the great leaders of the universe such as Lord Brahma and other demigods down to the political leaders of this world, all are envious of your authority. Without your help, however, they could neither separately nor consistently maintain the innumerable living entities within the universe. You are actually the only maintainer of all human beings, of animals like cows and asses, and the plants, reptiles, birds, mountains, and whatever else is visible within this material world.
So here he says that even great lokapalas, great controllers of the planets, even they are also sick with envy. Matsara jvara, they are sick with envy, they are having the fever of envy. Hitva yatanto, when they give you up, if they give up you, then either alone or even together with the combined effort, they cannot offer protection to any of the living entities who are actually two-legged or four-legged, or the living entities with a sarishrupasthanu, the living in it, the reptiles, birds, mountains, etc. So Prabhupada explains that it is fashionable among the materialistic persons to compete with the power of God. And the so-called scientists try to manufacture living entities in their laboratories, and their only purpose is to defy the talent and ability of the Supreme Lord. And this purport also Prabhupada talks about Daridra Narayan worship. Sometimes the so-called Swamis are very eager to feed poor people, thinking them to be Daridra Narayan. So they prefer to serve the manufactured Daridra Narayan than the original Supreme Narayan. And they say that don't encourage service to Lord Narayan. It is better to serve the starving people of the world. So that's why there are two kinds of envy. So in this purport, there are two kinds of envy. One kind of envy is that to think that I am the enjoyer or I am the controller. And the second kind of envy is that to think that I am the savior. One is to think that I am the enjoyer, and second is to think that I am the savior, I am the deliverer. So the first paragraph Prabhupada talks about how the demigods are sick with envy because of their enjoyment spirit or because of their controllership spirit. And Prabhupada in the purport he talks about the other envy in which the so-called Swamis, they think themselves to be the deliverer, and they think themselves to be the savior. So in the important point is that even sometimes the devotees, the demigods, are also bewildered by the illusory energy, and therefore they also falsely claim to be the maintainer of the entire universe. And such incidents are described in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. Next verse. Bhavan yugantar navavurmi malini kshonim imam oshadi virudam nidim maya sahoru kramateja vojasa tasmai jagat prana gunatmane namayiti.
Which is the source of all kinds of herbs, drugs and trees, was inundated by water and drowned beneath the devastating waves. At that time you protected me along with the earth and roamed the sea with great speed. O unborn one, you are the actual maintainer of the entire universal creation, and therefore you are the cause of all living entities. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
So here Vaivasvata Manu is talking about this particular pastime of Matsyavatar, in which Matsyavatar, he held the earth and then he actually took all the herbs and the seeds and the plants, and along with he also took Vaivasvata Manu. This particular pastime comes in the 8th canto, 24th chapter. So this Vaivasvata Manu is King Satyavrata. King Satyavrata, he became Vaivasvata Manu in the next Manvantara. So the Lord actually protected Satyavrata, and he held the Mother Earth. He also took all the Saptarishis and the different seeds and the herbs, and he roamed with great speed at the end of the Manvantara when there was a devastation. So Lord Vaivasvata Muni is offering obeisances to Matsya Avatar. So here Vishnu Chakravartakur says in the purport, Vaivasvata Muni is expressing his humility. Your visible form manifests by bhakti, but I am a dim likeness of a devotee. I am the witness to this. Holding the earth along with me, you moved about. So Prabhupada writes here, envious persons cannot see how everything is happening under the superintendence of the Supreme Lord. But a devotee, even though very humble, and even if uneducated, knows that behind all the activities of nature is the supreme hand of the supreme being. So now the next set of prayers are offered by the chief residents of Hiranmaya Varsha, headed by, that is Aryama, the residents of Hiranmaya Varsha headed by Aryama, to the Lord Kurmadev. Can you read the translation, the next verse? 39.
Varsh, the Supreme Lord Vishnu lives in the form of a tortoise, Kurma Sharira. This most dear and beautiful form is always worshipped there in devotional service by Aryama, the chief resident of Hiranmaya Varsh, along with the other inhabitant of that land. They chant the following hymns.
So here we see, it is explained that Priyatamam Tanum. Priyatamam means dear most. So Prabhupada writes here, one of the opulences of the Supreme Lord is infinite beauty, and all the Lord's incarnations are very beautiful and are appreciated as such by devotees. A certain form of the Lord is worshipped by a particular devotee because he loves to see that form of the Lord. So here it explained that the Lord, the very beautiful form of the Lord is always youthful, and sincere servants of a particular form of the Lord always see that form as very beautiful, and thus they engage in constant devotional service to him. So in this world, only person, like in the case of a only person who will be attracted to a tortoise, or maybe a male tortoise will be attracted to a female tortoise, and a female tortoise will be attracted to a male tortoise. And even if suppose some human beings are attracted to a tortoise, they may keep a tortoise as a pet. But we never hear that somebody is so attracted to a tortoise that they want to offer everything to the tortoise. They want to offer their entire life to the tortoise. But here, it's explained that how these residents of Hiranmaya Varsha, they are actually ready to offer their life to the tortoise. See, in one of the class I was hearing that, previously, many of these deities of Goswamis, like, and Rupa Goswami explains this verse about deity worship, that do not go to the banks of the Yamuna, because, do not go to Keshi Ghat, where Lord Govinda is actually standing in his threefold bending form. If you see that form, you'll lose attraction to all the family, wealth, etc. So in that class, Maharaj was explaining that many of these deities of the Goswamis, like compared to the current deities which we have in different ISKCON temples, etc., those deities, in one sense, they are not, externally speaking, they are not so beautiful compared to the present deities which we have, the features, etc. But Rupa Goswami and these devotees are actually so attracted to those deities. Rupa Goswami is talking about that particular deity of Govinda when he is actually speaking this, when he is composing this verse, that do not go to the banks of Yamuna where Lord Govinda is standing. So then he said, it's because these Goswamis are so much attached to the deity because of their love towards the deity, they are actually so much of attraction. So therefore, although those deities externally they may appear to be very beautiful, because of the love towards the deity, so they are feeling that, oh, don't look at the deity, otherwise you lose all attraction. Like that they are saying, like. So similarly here, so from one point of view, you may say, like, how will the tortoise attract a person? But Prabhupada is saying here, sincere servants of a particular form of the Lord always see that form as very beautiful, and thus they engage in constant devotional service to him. And another point he mentioned, that all these prayers are being narrated by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. And Shukadeva Goswami is actually, he is the parrot of Srimati Radharani. But he is not feeling that, oh, I should only narrate Radha Krishna pastimes. But he is also narrating all these pastimes. He is talking about this Kurmadev, Varahadev, Narsingadev with great enthusiasm and with great feelings he is speaking about them. So therefore he mentioned that when you love somebody, that you will also love that person even if that person appears in any other form. Shukadeva Goswami, who is actually the parrot of Srimati Radharani, if he is actually taking pleasure in narrating these pastimes of Kurmadev, Varahadev, etc. So that means that shows his actually his deep love towards the Supreme Lord who has appeared in different forms.
In this verse, 28th verse, is it also Matsya only? Holding up the earth.
Yeah, Matsya avatar.
Is it?
You are asking where is the word?
No, is the 28th verse, is it talking about Matsya avatar only? Or
yeah, Matsya avatar only. Yeah, Matsya.
Matsya only. Because he is saying that at the end of the millennium, this planet Earth was inundated with water and drowned beneath the devastating waves. And at the time he protected me along with the Earth and roamed the sea with great speed. So, this is not Lord Varaha taking the Earth out and carrying on the tusk.
No, it's Matsya Avatara.
Matsya Avatara also protects the Earth also, is it? I only knew that he protected Satyavrata and all the others.
Inundated by water and drowned beneath the devastating waves.
And Chakravarti Thakur says, holding of the earth, he says, the storehouse of herbs and planets, as well as me, you roamed about with great speed. So this was done by Matsya Avatar only, sir.
At least it seems like that. But I remember in the 8th canto it is described that Lord appeared two times as Matsya Avatar, just like Varahadev appeared two times, also appeared two times. Similar to Varahadev, once he killed a demon, another time he just only protected the earth. The earth was inundated by water and drowned beneath the devastating waves. Yeah, this is interesting detail. We will check with the 30th verse. Any translation? 30th verse.
O my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who have assumed the form of Krishna. You are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, and being entirely contained by matter. You are perfectly situated in pure goodness. You move here and there in the water, but no one can discern your position. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Because of your transcendental position, you are not limited by past, present, and future. You are present everywhere as the shelter of all things. And therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again.
So here, this is a prayer to glorify Matsya, the Kurma Avatar. Sarva sattva guna visheshanaya, that means the Lord has a form of perfect sattva guna or a form of shuddha sattva. Sarva sattva guna visheshanaya. Akuparaya means I offer respects to the Kurma Deva, the turtle. And Anupalakshita Sthanaya. Anupalakshita Sthanaya, Prabhupada translates as, you move here and there in the water, but no one can discern your position. No one can discern your position, but another meaning of Anupalakshita Vatmane means, you have a Vaikuntha abode which is invisible to all. And Varshmane means like you have a huge body, and Bhumne, which is you are all pervading, and Avasthanaya, you are the support of everything, you are the shelter of everyone. Next verse. Yadrupametan nijamaya yarpitam artasvarupam bahuruparupitam samkhyanayasyat ayatopalambanat tasmai namaste vyapadesha rupine.
My dear Lord, this visible cosmic manifestation is a demonstration of your own creative energy. Since the countless varieties of forms within this cosmic manifestation are simply a display of your external energy, this Virat Rupa, universal body, is not your ideal form, except for a devotee in transcendental consciousness. No one can perceive your actual form. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
So, yad rupam yetam. So, here, Ariyama is saying that this universe, yad rupam, this universe is also your form, nijam maya yarpitam. Is your form, it comes from your external energy. Nija maya yarpitam. And artha swarupam, this universe is actually real. Man bahu rupa rupitam, but it is displayed in many forms. Sankhya na yasyasti, nobody can actually count and realize this universe, the different forms you display in the universe. And ayatopa lambanat, that means Vishnu Chakravarti says that it is impossible to realize them all. Ayata upalambanat, it is impossible to actually realize all these forms. Sankhya na yasyasti means nobody can count it. Ayata upalambanat means like nobody can realize them. And then in the last line he says, tasmai namaste vyapadesha rupine. I offer respects to you whose form cannot be described in words. So here, he is talking about especially the universal form of the Lord, how it is actually, it is arising from his external energy, how it is real, and how it is, it has many forms and nobody can count it. So the ultimately he says, if your universal form is so unlimited, which cannot be counted, which cannot be realized, then what to speak of your spiritual form, which is unknown to everyone? So therefore, I offer respects to that form, impossible to describe. Avyapadesha rupine, the last line, avyapadesha rupine, that refers to his spiritual form. The first three lines describe about his universal form. And the last line, he says, if your universal form is so great, which is impossible to be counted, which is impossible to realize, then what to speak of your spiritual form? So to that spiritual form, avyapadesha vartmane, which is actually impossible to describe, to that spiritual form, I offer my reciprocal obeisances, tasmai namaste. So Prabhupada in the purport, he actually talks about that how Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, this statement is refuted here. The Mayavadis say that Brahman is real, but this world is actually unreal, it is false. But here it is explained, artha swarupam. Artha swarupam means this universe is real. Our Prabhupada gives an analogy. He says that fire has two energies, heat and light. But heat and light are formless. In that sense, heat and light are actually formless. So in that sense, they are actually unreal. The same way, when we say this world is unreal, in the sense that the world is temporary. The world is temporary, so in that sense we say it is illusion. But actually the fact is world is real. The world is real. So, and then Prabhupada says that in order to understand its real form, that it is not possible unless a person becomes his devotee. So next verse. Jarayujam shvedajamandajodbidam characharam devarshi pitrubhutamaindriyam dyaukam kshitikshaila sarit samudra dvipagraharkshetya bideya yeka.
Are expanded in countless forms. No one can determine exactly. My dear Lord, you manifest your different energies in countless forms, as living entities born from wombs, from eggs and from perspiration, as plants and trees that grow out of the earth, as all living entities, both moving and standing, including the demigods, the learned sages and the pitas, as outer space, as the higher planetary system containing the heavenly planets, and as the planet Earth, with its hills, rivers, seas, oceans and islands. Indeed, all the stars and the planets are simply manifestations of your different energies. But originally, you are one without a second. Therefore, there is nothing beyond you. This entire cosmic manifestation is therefore not false, but is simply a temporary manifestation of your inconceivable energy.
So again, this verse also refutes this conception of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So here he says, Jarayujam, Shvedajam, different living beings who are born from womb or perspiration or the eggs or the seeds, the moving and non-moving living entities, the demigods, rishis, pitras, bhutas, and the heaven, earth, space, mountains, rivers, etc. All these are simply you alone. Abhideya yeka. They are you only. So again, in this verse, Prabhupada gives an analogy. He again tells the same point that how this world is actually temporary. In that sense, it is illusory. But the world is always real. I think one of the later verses, one of the later purposes somewhere, Prabhupada gives an example. Like sometimes when a person becomes angry, this purport only, yeah. When a person becomes angry, that the anger is for real, but the anger is temporary. So similarly, when you say this material world is temporary, but it is for real. It is not illusion, it is not false. So that is a analogy which Prabhupada gives. Next to us.
Yasmin asankeya vishesha nama rupa krutau kavibikalpiteyam sankhyaya tatva drishapaniyate tasmai namasankhya nidarshanayate iti.
O my Lord, your name, form and bodily features are expanded in countless forms. No one can determine exactly how many forms exist, yet you yourself, in your incarnation as the learned scholar Kapil Dev, have analyzed the cosmic manifestation as containing 24 elements. Therefore, if one is interested in Sankhya philosophy, by which one can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from you. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of your actual form. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
So in this verse, Ariyama is actually offering respect to the Lord by saying that he is the form of all knowledge. So says that I offer respects to the form of knowledge to which the countless forms imagined by the sages, kavibhi kalpiteyam, the countless forms, asankyeya visheshanama, which are imagined by the sages, kavibhi kalpiteyam, to be residing in you with your unlimited names, forms and species are removed. So, Prabhupada gives a translation that if a person is interested in Sankhya philosophy by which one can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from you. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of your actual form. So, he explains in the purport that scientists, they do so much of research work, but before the research work gets over, the laws of nature, the material nature attacks them and then they have to die. The material nature does not give any regard for their research work. And the second point is that the scientists, they work very hard and they study the material world and they study all the elements, but they do not know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the background of everything. So therefore he quotes that Mayadhyakshena Prakriti, that he is the background of everything. So I will take a 5 minutes break and then we will continue from the next verse. So from the 34th verse onwards, the residents of Uttara Kuru Varsha they offer prayer, headed by Mother Earth, they offer prayers to Varahadev. In the 34th verse translation,
Shubhaya Goswami said, "Dear King, the Supreme Lord in His Boar incarnation, who accepts all sacrificial offerings, lives in the northern part of Jambudvip. There, in tract of land known as Uttara Kuru Varsha, Mother Earth and all the other inhabitants worship Him with unfailing devotional service by repeatedly chanting the following Upanishad mantra.
Om Namo Bhagavate Mantra Tattva Lingaya Yajna Kratave Mahadvarava Yavaya Mahapurushaya Namak Karma Shuklaya Triyugaya Namaste.
O Lord, we offer our respectful obeisance unto You as the gigantic person. Simply by chanting mantras, we shall be able to understand You fully. You are Yajna, sacrifice, and You are the Kratu, ritual. Therefore, all the ritualistic ceremonies of sacrifice are part of Your transcendental body, and You are the only enjoyer of all sacrifices. Your form is composed of transcendental goodness. You are known as Triyuga, because in Kali Yuga, You appeared as a concealed incarnation, and because You always fully possess the three pairs of opulences."
So in this verse, Mantra Tattva Lingaya, I offer respects to the Lord. Mantra Tattva Lingaya means one who is known in truth by the mantras, by chanting the mantras. And the next word is Yajna Kratave. So Yajna Kratave, here it refers to, Yajna refers to those sacrifices which involve no animal killing. Kratave refers to those sacrifices with animal killing. So Yajna Kratave means the Supreme Lord, who is the form of both these sacrifices. The sacrifices which involve animal killing, which do not involve animal killing. And then the next word, Mahadvaraya. Maha Advara Avayavaya. That means one who is the limbs of great sacrifices. And then the next word is Karma Shuklaya. Karma Shuklaya means I offer respects to the Lord who is Shuddha Sattva in His behavior. Karma refers to here behavior. Shuklaya means Shuddha Sattva. One who is Shuddha Sattva in His behavior. And Triyugaya, to the Supreme Lord who appears in three yugas. Because in Kali Yuga He appears in a covered form. Or another meaning of the word Triyugaya means, to that Supreme Lord who has got three pairs of opulences, or one who has got six opulences. That is another meaning of the word Triyugaya. So here Prabhupada translates, the purport, that where is it mentioned? So in Kali Yuga, in this age of Kali, the Supreme Lord does not appear as a Leelavatara, an incarnation to display pastimes, therefore He is known as Triyuga. So, when I was hearing a class on this, Radhana Swami Maharaj was explaining this class, that because in Kali Yuga there is no Leela Avatar, so the Lord is called as Triyuga. But actually, if we see Varahadev, here this being talked about Varahadev, so how many chapters are there in the Bhagavatam about Varahadev? Maybe some 3-4 chapters, like 3rd canto, 13th chapter, and then 17, 18, 19, like few, 3-4 chapters like that. But how many pastimes are there about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The whole book of Chaitanya Charitamrita turning so many pastimes. But so he is explained that because in Kali Yuga there is no Leela Avatar, therefore Lord is called as Tri Yuga. But actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has performed so more pastimes than even actually the other Leela Avataras who appeared in the other Yugas. So then he said the main reason why Lord is Tri Yuga, because in, although Mahaprabhu has performed more pastimes than other incarnations in Kali Yuga, but because Mahaprabhu has appeared in the mood of a devotee, he has appeared in a covered form, so therefore actually he is not considered as a Leela Avatar, like that he mentioned. Next verse. Yasya swarupam kavayo vipaschito guneshu darush iva jata vedasam matnanti matna manasadidrikshavo gudam kriyartair namayiritatmane.
By manipulating a fire generating stick, great saints and sages can bring forth the fire lying dormant within wood. In the same way, O Lord, those expert in understanding the absolute truth try to see you in everything, even in their own bodies. Yet you remain concealed. You are not to be understood by indirect processes involving mental or physical activities. Because you are self-manifested only when you see that a person is wholeheartedly engaged in searching for you, do you reveal yourself. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
So here, essentially, this verse talks, says, the Lord becomes manifest by the practice of bhakti, which is unmixed with karma. And another point which is explained is that the Lord does not become manifest by the practice of, by the process of karma. And an analogy is also given for how the Lord becomes manifest with the process of bhakti. An analogy is also given. So it is explained, guneshu darushu iva jata vedasam. Guneshu darushu iva jata vedasam. That means, just like a person churns fire from pieces of wood. Jata vedasam means actually manifesting fire. So darushu is actually pieces of wood. Just like a person manifests fire using pieces of wood. Similarly, learned people, vipaschitaha, learned people and devotees, learned people desiring to see you, didrukshavo, desiring to see you, they make visible your form. How do it? They make visible your form. Yasya swarupam, they desiring to see your form, they make visible your form, which is invisible, by performing, which is invisible by performing karma and accepting its results. So Vishnu Chakotaku says, last line, gudam kriyarte. Gudam means invisible. The Lord's form remains invisible when a person practices karma. So kriyarte represents actually performing fruitive activities and enjoying the fruits of the fruitive activities. So your form remains invisible, gudam, by practicing karma and enjoying its results. But then how does your form become visible? Mitnanti matna manasa didrikshavo. They manifest your form by concentrating the mind, manasa, by concentrating the mind on your name and form. They concentrate the mind on your name and form. Mana iritatmane, especially, they concentrate the mind on your name and form. So I offer respects to that Lord whose nature has been described. So basically this verse says that just like a person manifests fire by with the help of wood, so similarly, by concentrating the learned people who desire to see your form, they actually manifest your form or they see your form by concentrating their mind upon your name and form. But on the other hand, your form remains invisible to those people who perform fruitive activities and enjoy the results. Gudam kriyarthair nama iritatmani. To that Supreme Lord I offer my respectful obeisances. So Prabhupada gives different quotations for what is the Vipaschita. He gives a Upanishad quote. A learned person, who is a learned person, he gives a Upanishad quote, and he also quotes Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavanvam Prapadyate. The real learned person is one who surrenders. And then he gives three quotations, all three are from the Upanishads, at the end of the purport, which talk about the how the Lord is all-pervading, witness, he is a witness of everything, and how he is a Nirguna. And he also gives a quotation to explain the word Guda from the Shvetasvatara Upanishad. Eko Deva Sarva Bhuteshu Guda. Next verse. Dravya kriya het ayanesha kartribir maya gunair vastu nirikshitatmane anvikshayanga tishayatma buddhibir nirastamaya kritayena mo namaha.
The objects of material enjoyment, sound, form, taste, touch and smell, the activities of the senses, the controller of sensory activity, the demigods, the body, eternal time and egoism are all creation of your material energy. Those whose intelligence have become fixed by perfect execution of mystic yoga can see that all these elements result from the actions of your external energy. They can also see your transcendental form as super soul in the background of everything. Therefore, I repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
So in this verse, Prabhupada explains that a person advanced in spiritual knowledge or a person expert in the practice of mystic yoga can understand transcendence either as Paramatma or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So especially I want to mention three points on Vishnu Chakravarti's purport. So he explains that in order to realize the Supreme Lord's form, one has to adopt three principles. Three principles, or we can say one has to adopt three methods or three processes. So he mentions, the first principle he says is that with the use of intelligence and with great effort, one should put great effort in the angas of bhakti such as hearing and chanting. So he says that your form can be seen in truth when a person puts great effort to practice the different items of sadhana bhakti such as hearing and chanting. And when a person puts great effort to practice his different processes with great intelligence. This is the first principle which one should adopt. The second principle he says is that your form, and also one should repeatedly contemplate on the mind, one should repeatedly contemplate, by repeated contemplation of the mind on practices of hearing, chanting and serving. So one is that actually engaging the process of hearing and chanting, and secondly, one should contemplate on these processes. That means, how is my chanting going on properly? Is my how much my mind is attentive? Am I having the right consciousness while serving? Means like thinking about how we are engaging in sadhana bhakti. And third thing is that he mentions that one should also contemplate on the effects of maya. What are the effects of maya? We have the sense objects, the senses, the sense devatas, the body, time and ahankara. Dravya, kriya, hetu, ayanesha, kartrubi, maya and gunai. So he in a nonsense, like sometimes people actually say, like some Vaishnavas, they tell about ISKCON, that in ISKCON you talk lot about Krishna Katha, but you don't talk Krishna Katha. What are you saying there? But actually, if we see this particular accusation based on this particular verse, but what this verse is saying is that not only one should actually engage in hearing and chanting, one should also contemplate about hearing and chanting. Contemplating about hearing and chanting means one should talk about the importance of hearing and chanting, one should talk about how one should attentively hear, one should attentively hear, chant, like one should serve with the right attitude. One is actually doing it and also another is actually talking about them. So that we, when we actually do it, we'll do it with the right attitude. So in that sense, that is also important. And third thing is that we should contemplate on the effects of Maya. So if we see in the scriptures, like always, these two principles, they always come. Being conscious of Krishna and conscious of Maya. So the first principle is actually engaging in hearing and chanting, that is being conscious of Krishna. Second principle is about introspection, whether I am doing properly. And third principle is being conscious of Maya. These are the three principles. If we follow these principles, if we follow these three principles, we can realize the form of the Supreme Lord. So that is what is the essence of this verse is about. But I just want to mention few things. It's like, for example, when Krishna says, Daivi Hesha Gunamayi, Mamamaya Duratyaya. So this verse talks about, both about the power of Krishna and also about the power of Maya. So if a person has to make rapid advancement, one has to be conscious of power of Krishna and also of the power of Maya. So yesterday also we talked about, and they gave the example of Bharat Maharaj and Shaubari Muni, one who is conscious of Krishna but not conscious of Maya, conscious of Maya but not conscious of Krishna. So when we become, if we become casual either about Krishna or about Maya, we become a casualty. One has to be actually serious about both, about Krishna as well as about Maya. Being conscious of Krishna, conscious of Maya means like one has to take both Krishna and Maya, both of them seriously. one should not be casual about any of them. Otherwise, it will become a casualty. So, if we see, we'll see in the Ajamil case also, after Ajamil hears the conversation between the Vishnudutas and Yamadutas, there is a verse which comes in which Shrude Goswami says, Shrude Goswami explains that hearing about pure dharma approved by the Lord from the servants of Vishnu and the impure dharma recommended in the three Vedas from the servants of Yamaraj, Ajamil quickly became filled with devotion. Like Ajamil heard both the transcendental religious principles from the Vishnudutas and the material religious principles from the Yamadutas. So then he became fixed in devotion to the Lord. So that means he heard about the superior nature of devotional service and the inferior nature of other paths. Suppose when we hear only about the superior nature of devotional service, and if we do not hear the other paths are inferior, then our faith in devotional service may not become as strong as when we hear about the nature of the devotional service and also about the inferior nature of the other paths. So that's why if we see in the Bhagavatam, like Parikshit Maharaj asked the question at the end of first canto, please tell me what I should hear and chant and remember, and also what I should not hear, chant and remember. One may ask like, just tell me what I should hear, chant and remember. But he also asked what I should not hear, chant and remember. So even Rupa Goswami, when he gives the 64 items of sadhana bhakti, the first 10 items are what are to be done, And he also, next 10 items are what are not to be eaten. So when we hear both of them, because when we avoid what are not to be done, and when we do what we are supposed to do, then the progress is more rapid. So therefore, these three principles are explained. Being conscious of Krishna, here it is explained as actually putting effort in hearing and chanting. And second principle is introspecting, contemplating about these processes, whether we are doing it properly. And third principle is that being actually contemplating about the effects of Maya. That means like being cautious of Maya. So even the similar verses also comes in the Isopanishad. Vidyam cha avidyam cha yas tadvedo ubayam saha avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyaya mritam ashnute. Means like one should actually simultaneously, only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death. Both the process of nescience and the process of transcendental knowledge. And such a person can enjoy the full blessings of eternality. Another verse also, Sambhutim cha vinasham cha yastat vedo ubayam saha vinashena mrityum tirtva sambhutya mritam ashnute. One should know perfectly the Supreme Lord, His transcendental name, form and qualities and pastimes, as well as the temporary material creation with its different demigods, men and animals. When one knows both the Supreme Lord and also the temporary demigods, the material world is temporary, then a person can surpass death. So we see always both the principles are mentioned. So that's why even in preaching also, some like we have to actually preach about the positive aspects and also about the negative thing. Like the jnani preaching is, they only talk about how the material world is miserable. But that can become a very dry, and people, we also have to talk about the positive things about, some positive things about Krishna's pastimes, qualities, etc., which will give inspiration. And not only we just talk about only these things, but we also have to talk about how we have to be cautious of Maya. So both the things are actually always explained. So next verse. Karoti vishvastiti samyamodayam yasyepsitam nepsitam ikshiturgunai maya yatayo brahmate tadashrayam gravno namaste gunakarma sakshine.
O Lord, you do not desire the creation, maintenance or annihilation of this material world, but you perform these activities for the conditioned souls by your creative energy. Exactly as a piece of iron moves under the influence of a lodestone, inert matter moves when you glance over the total material energy.
So he, in this verse, especially two points is explained, that the Lord does not desire to create, maintain or annihilate this universe. So Prabhupada says, is actually the living entity who desires, in order to facilitate the living entity's desire to enjoy independently from Krishna, the Lord has created. Or Vishnu Chakravarti says that, he says that, by your glance you carry out creation, maintenance and destruction, though it is not desired by you, but only by the Jiva. And the second point is that, the analogy is given, just like a piece of iron moves by the influence of a magnet, so similarly, the material nature moves by your glance, moves by your influence. So the Lord is behind the material nature, but we see that material nature is actually doing everything. But behind the material nature is the influence of the Supreme Lord. We may see that iron is moving here and there, but actually we must know that behind the iron is the influence of the magnet. Because the magnet is moving, therefore the iron is moving. So the, essentially two points are explained. The first point is that the living entities, they only actually create. in the sense because they actually desire to enjoy independently from the Lord. So in one purport, as the Prabhupada explains, that why there is disparity in this world. Sometimes people ask that, why Lord has created this world with so much of inequalities? So Prabhupada explains in the Queen Kunt, first canto, 15th chapter, because the living entity wants to lord it over material nature, in order to facilitate the desire of the living entity to lord it over material nature, the Lord has created disparity. Because if there is no disparity, how can somebody try to lord it over material nature? Because to lord it over somebody, there has to be something superior, something has to be inferior. So therefore the desire to lord it over material nature has naturally created disparities in this world. So that is the point he explains. And then, of course, the second point he explains is that how people mistake the prakriti to be the doer. So for that he quotes verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Considering prakriti to be the cause of everything is like considering the nipples and the neck of a goat to be the source of milk. So that is the point which is. So next, the last, next verse of this chapter. Pramatya daityam prativaranam rude yomam rasaya jagadadi sukara kritvagradam shre niragadudanvata kridan yiveva pranatasmitam vibhumiti.
My Lord, as the original born within this universe, you fought and killed the great demon Hiranyaksha. Then you lifted me from the Garbhadaka ocean on the end of your tusk, exactly as a spouting elephant plucks a lotus flower from the water. I bow down before you.
So in this verse, Mother Earth is describing the pastime which Varahadev performed, and she is expressing the great mercy which the Lord shown on her by lifting her from the Garbhodaka ocean. Here the word Rasaya does not refer to Rasatala planet, but it refers to Garbhodaka ocean. And in a sporting way, just like an elephant plucks a lotus flower, you actually protected me, lifted the Mother Earth. So we'll go to the next chapter. The next chapter contains, so far we have discussed seven set of prayers. In the Ilavrita Varsha, Lord Shiva praying to Sankarshan. Badrashva Varsha, Badrashravasa praying to Hayagriva, Hayashirsha. And in the Hari Varsha, Prahlad Maharaj Narasingade. And fourth is, in Ketumala Varsha, Lakshmi Devi praying to Lord Kamadev. And Ramyaka Varsha, Vaivasvatmana praying to Matsyavata. And Hiranmaya Varsha, Arima praying to Kurmadev. And in the Uttara Kuru Varsha, Mother Earth praying to Varahadev. So now seven prayers are over, and the last two prayers, two sets of prayers are described in the 19th chapter. In this Kimpurusha Varsha, the residents of Kimpurusha Varsha, headed by Arshtisena and Hanumanji, Sugriva, etc., they pray to Lord Ram. And in the Bharat Varsha, the demigods, they glorify Naranarayan Rishi, and they also talk about the glories of the birth in Bharat Varsha. So we may, at least I want to complete the residents of Kimpurusha Varsha's prayers. Let us see. If you can read the first verse.
Srila Shukdev Goswami said, my dear King, in Kimpurusha Varsha, the great devotee Hanuman is always engaged with the inhabitants of that land in devotional service to Lord Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshmana and dear husband of Sita Devi. A host of Gandharvas is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord Ramchandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. Hanumanji and Arshti Sen, the chief person in Kimpurusha Varsha, constantly hear those glories with complete attention. Hanuman chants the following mantras.
So here, the residents of Kimpurusha Varusha, Hanumanji, along with Arshti Sena, they constantly hear with rapt attention the most auspicious glories of the master. So Prabhupada says here that other devotees like Narada Muni, they glorify, they chant the glories of all the forms of the Lord, different forms of the Lord. But in the case of Hanumanji, Hanumanji is fixed in glorifying only Lord Ram. He hears the glories of only the Lord Ram. Unlike the other devotees who also glorify and hear the glories of other forms of the Lord. So we see that even the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Murari Gupta was actually especially attached to the, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Murari Gupta to worship Krishna. So Murari Gupta sincerely he wanted to follow the instruction of Mahaprabhu, but the next day he came and said that I cannot actually divert my attention to any other master other than Lord Ram. And similar instance, so Mahaprabhu did not force Murari Gupta. On the other hand, Mahaprabhu glorified Murari Gupta's devotion to Lord Ram. That glorious is that master who never actually leaves the service of, glorious is that servant who never leaves the service of his master. And similarly, even Rupa Goswami also, this incident took place in some other place. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they requested his brother Vallabha to worship Lord Krishna. And Vallabha also, he wanted to follow the instruction of Rupa Goswami. And the next day he came and said, I want to commit suicide because I cannot follow your instruction of worshipping Krishna. I'm not able to leave the worship of Lord Ram. Then Rupa Goswami also appreciated Vallabha's devotion and he also did not force Vallabha. So we see here, when we say Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam, Rupa Goswami knew the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, other pastime describes that also. But this pastime also describes that Mahaprabhu also had the same mood. The way Mahaprabhu dealt with Murari Gupta, exactly in the similar way, Rupa Goswami also dealt with Vallabha. So, because Rupa Goswami knew the what is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he did not actually force Vallabha, okay, you must worship Krishna. When he understood how he sincerely devoted to Lord Ram, he actually appreciated that, having the same mood as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, another point which is explained here is that, in the Vishnu Dharmottara Puran, it is explained that Lord Ram is actually incarnation of Vasudev, and Lakshmana, Shardrughna, Shatrughna and Bharat, they are incarnations of Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And according to Padma Puran, it is described that Lord Ram is incarnation of Vasudev, and Lakshmana is the incarnation of Sesha, and Pradyumna and the Shatrughna and Bharata, they are incarnations of Shankha and Chakra. So then Prabhupada raises the question, how can these contradictions be reconciled? Where Vishnu Dharmottara says that they are incarnations of the Chaturvyuha, the Padma Puran mentions a different way. So Baldev Vidya Bhushan reconciles the contradiction by saying these two things refer to different kalpas. Some kalpas, they are actually incarnations of Shankha, Chakra, Shesha and Vasudev. Some kalpas is different. So in that sense, Shivaram Maharaj explains in his book, he says that when we read the scriptures, like he quotes a Prabhupada's statement in some lecture and conversation, and he explains that Prabhupada is saying that one should read the scriptures from different angles of vision. So Prabhupada gives two reasons for why we should read the scriptures from different angles of vision. One reason is that one should read scriptures from different angles of vision in order to actually reconcile the apparent differences between the different acharyas. Reconcile the differences in perception of the different acharyas, one should read the scriptures from different angles of vision. And another reason which Prabhupada says is that one should read from, not only one should read from different angles of vision in order to keep one's Krishna consciousness very active. That means, so therefore one should try to understand Krishna from different angles of vision. So he says that this reading from different angles of vision should also be cultivated in order to keep the Krishna consciousness active. So he says each verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is like Kamadenu. It can give unlimited quantities of milk, which can be explained in many different ways. So one should actually try to read from different angles. But while trying to read from different angles, one thing one should keep in mind, that one should never contradict with the conclusions of the previous acharyas. Otherwise, one should not say that, oh, I'm just reading from different angles of vision. In that way, one should not actually contradict this. One should not speculate. You should agree with the conclusions of the previous acharyas. So here, Baldev Vidya Bhushan is actually reconciling the two information. So you can read the next verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Uttama Shlokaya Nama Arya Lakshana Shila Vrataya Nama Upashikshitatmana Upasita Lokaya Nama Saduvada Naikashanaya Namo Brahmanya Devaya Mahapurushaya Maharajaya Namayiti.
Let me offer your lordship by chanting the Bij Mantra Omkar. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. Your lordship is the reservoir of all good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you always control your senses and mind. Acting just like an ordinary human being, you exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold, but you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. You are worshipped by Brahmanas, who are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of the Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
So Uttama Shloka, yeah, that means one who is most praiseworthy. Arya Lakshana Shila Vrataya means the one who possesses all the good qualities of advanced personalities. Or Vishnu Chakrataka says, Lakshana means markings, Shila means qualities, and Vrata means vows. So Arya Lakshana Shila Vrata means the personification of the best markings, qualities and vows. Upasikshitatmana, that means one who actually accepted teachings from others. And Upasita Lokaya, one who is worshipped by everyone, all types of people, the whole world. And the next word is very interesting. Sadhu Vada Nikashanaya. Sadhu Vada Nikashanaya means the Supreme Lord is like a stone which is used to examine good qualities. Like if you want to know whether a quality is good or not, you place that quality on Lord Ram, and Lord Ram will examine. That means, in our case, we say that, oh, this person is actually a very good person, oh, because he is humble, or because he has this quality, therefore this person is good, we say. But in the case of Supreme Lord, he is actually all good. Because this quality is present in Lord Ram, therefore this quality is a good quality. In our case, we say, like, oh, this person is good because he has good this particular good quality. But in the case of Supreme Lord, we say, oh, because this quality is present in Lord Ram, so therefore this quality must be a good quality. So therefore, whoever has this quality, that person must be a good. So that is how, as far as like, just like a gold testing stone is actually used to test the gold. Similarly, Lord is like that quality testing stone to test whether the quality is good or not. So it is like similar to that verse, like qualities become glorified because of coming in contact with Lord Ram. Parampada Bhushana Bhushanangam. The ornaments become beautified by coming in contact with the Supreme Lord. Yes, like so then the last line is, then the next word is Brahmanya Devaya. One is worshipped by the Brahmanas. Mahapurushaya Maharajaya, the best among the kings and the cause of the material creation, Mahapurushaya. So next, there are some very beautiful prayers. I will just quickly go through it. Yattat Vishuddhanu Bhava Matramekam Svatejasadvasta Gunavyavastam Pratyak Prashantam Sudiyopalambanam Yanamarupam Niraham Prapadye.
The Lord, whose pure form Sachidananda Vigra is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature, and because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he a material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra, and let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet.
So here, Prabhupada and Vishnu Chakotako, they begin the purport by saying, one may say, you are, because it's mentioned that Lord Ram is an incarnation of Vasudev. But then Lord Ram does not have any symbols of Shankar Chakra Gada Padma. And the Supreme Lord Vasudev Narayan, he rides on Garuda. But Lord Ram, he is not riding on Garuda, but he is riding on Hanumanji. So how can we say that Lord Ram is actually the incarnation of Narayan or Vasudev? So therefore, in this verse is explained, let those people who doubt, let them continue to doubt. But I realize personally Lord Ram as the Supreme Brahman. So with that certainty, Hanumanji is actually glorifying the Lord. Nirakam Prapadya. I accept him as the Supreme Brahman. So Prabhupada writes here, although Lord Ram does not have the symbols of Shankar Chakra Gada Padma, or although he does not ride on Garuda, but still Lord Ram is the Supreme Lord, because it is explained, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. Although Krishna is the original Lord, Lord Ram is non-different from him, and he is unaffected by the modes of material nature, Vishuddhanu Bhava Matram Ekam, and therefore he is Prashanta. And never disturbed by those modes. So then he says, then he explains that unless a person is saturated with love for the Supreme Lord, one cannot appreciate the transcendental value of Lord Ramachandra. And he gives an example of how Ravana tried to kidnap Lord Ram, but actually Ravana could not carry off Sita in her original form. He could only take the Maya Sita. So, Vishnu Chakotaka writes here, I surrender to Lord Ram, who is a state devoid of Maya, Vishuddhanu Bhava Matramekam. Then he raises the argument, but even a liberated, purified living entity, he is also freed of Maya. He is also devoid of Maya. And what is the difference between the Lord and the living entity and the Lord Ram? So then he says, in the case of the Supreme Lord, Svatejasa Dvasta, the Supreme Lord is devoid of Maya by the power of his own form. So because of that, he is invisible. He is Pratyak. Svatejasa Dvasta Gunavyavastam. He is devoid of Maya by the power of his own form, Svatejasa, by his internal energy. So in that way, he is invisible, Pratyak. And he is also devoid of all agitations or disturbances. He is completely peaceful. So therefore he is called as Prashantam. And he is also Sudiyopalambanam. That means he is realized by the intelligent people. And Anamarupam. That means he has no material name and he has no material form. And especially the last line is important. Niraham prapadye. Niraham prapadye means I surrender without ahankara. Niraham prapadye. I surrender. The two meanings are given by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. One is that I surrender to the Lord with certainty. Means like the devotee is not having any doubt, should I surrender or not. I surrender with certainty. And second meaning is that I surrender without false ego. So Vishnu Chakravarti gives an explanation that devotee is thinking ultimately surrender can be accomplished only by the Supreme Lord, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Surrender cannot be accomplished simply by me, it can be accomplished only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, I surrender without false ego means I surrender without the false identity as the doer. Oh, I have surrendered. Without that conception of false ego that actually I have done it. So this is the Vedanta philosophy. Vedanta philosophy talks about our effort and the Lord's mercy. Here the devotee is, when he says Niraham Prapadye, I surrender without false ego, that means he is putting an effort to surrender, but he is also having the conscience, he is also having that only by the mercy of the Lord the surrender can be accomplished. On the other hand, if you see Abrahamic religion, they only talk about the mercy aspect. Just accept Jesus as the Savior, by His mercy, you will actually go to heaven, you will go. There is no concept of sadhana in the Abrahamic religion. And on the other hand, in the Buddhist religion, there is no concept of mercy. They say that by your own effort, you can actually achieve liberation, you can actually get out of this world. There is no concept of the mercy of the Lord. But Vedanta philosophy is actually the perfect balance where our effort and Krishna's mercy, both are there. And Prabhupada, in the purport, he gives two meanings of the word Niraham. One meaning is that Lord has no material identity, but He has got spiritual identity. And second meaning He gives, one he quotes from Jiva Goswami, and another meaning He gives is that, he says that Lord certainly has identity. Niraham means, here ni means He refers to certainty. Lord certainly has identity. So according to Vishnu Chakravarti's purport, Niraham refers to, He interprets from the point of view of a living entity. Living entity says that I surrender with certainty or I surrender without false ego. But Prabhupada, by quoting other acharyas, he gives the word Niraham. He actually refers to Supreme Lord who has no material identity but has spiritual identity. And he certainly has identity. Next verse. Martyavataras Tvihamartya Shikshanam Raksho vadayaiva na kevalam vibho kutonyatasya tramatasva atmana sita kritani vyasanani shvarasya.
It was ordained that Ravana, chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramchandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is the cause of many miseries. He is the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead, and nothing is lamentable for Him. Therefore, why else could He be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita?
So if we see, three reasons for the Lord's appearance are explained, or we can say four reasons. One reason is that Lord appeared to kill Ravan. But then it is explained, Raksho vadayaiva na kevalam vibho. Lord appeared not just to kill Ravan, but also for some other reasons. What are the other reasons? Martyavataras tviha martya shikshanam. He appeared as an avatar among the human being. Human being is called as Martya. In order to teach the human beings, Martya Shikshanam. So what teachings he wanted to give? He wanted to teach, according to Vishnu Chakratakan Prabhupada, he wanted to teach two things, prema and dharma. How to execute religious principles, and he also wanted to teach about the nature of prema. And Prabhupada adds one more point in the purport. So therefore, four reasons. Or we can, Prabhupada, this point is on the point of actually dharma, we can say. So one is actually to kill Ravan, and second is to show, first we'll take up this lesson of how to establish prema. That Lord wanted to teach about the nature of prema between him and his devotees. Because when Sita was kidnapped by Ravan, Lord Ram was actually frantically searching for Sita. In fact, there is a vivid description in Ramayana how Lord Ram was like asking different trees and plants and creepers, have you seen Sita, etc. And he was actually in the deep separation from Sita in the Malyavan Parvat for 4 months. He was always chanting the names of Sita. So by that he was teaching the nature of prema, how he is conquered by the love of his devotees, how he is conquered by the internal energy. So he is teaching prema about the process of devotional service, how he is conquered by the process of bhakti. And he also taught the nature, he also taught dharma. Dharma is that, in the sense that Lord Ram appeared, he taught that how when a person takes up the responsibility, when a person marries, he should actually give all protection to the wife. So Lord Ram went to such an extent that he went, in order to bring back Sita, he went to such an extent of killing Ravan. He went to such an extent of making a bridge and going, crossing the ocean and actually killing Ravan and bringing back Sita. In that way, Lord Ram showed the example of, he taught the principle of how one should execute the, how one should follow one's dharma of giving protection to the wife as a grahastha. So the third principle Lord came to teach. And the fourth principle, which Prabhupada mentions in his purport, which is not in Vishnachakra's purport, is that Lord Ram is teaching to the devotees that how one should be cautious of the illusory energy, how one should be cautious of the maya, in the sense that he is actually showing by his example that how when a person becomes attached to a woman, one has to undergo so many tribulations. So Lord Ram was showing by his own example that although from a human point of view, he is saying that because he was so attached to Sita, Lord Ram was going through so many problems, he was actually suffering in separation. So he is teaching to the devotees how one should be cautious of maya, in the sense that how one should not be attached to the women. So therefore Prabhupada quotes this verse, Yan maitunadi grahamedi sukam hituchyam kanduyanena kavayo karayor iva dukkha dukkam trippyanti neha kripana bahu dukkha bhaja. So he says, kripana, those who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge and who are therefore just the opposite of brahmanas, generally take to family life, which is a concession for sex. Thus they enjoy sex again and again, although it is followed by many tribulations. And this is a warning to devotees. So we see that the Lord not only gives teachings, but in order to personally demonstrate those teachings, he is actually demonstrating through his own example. So these are the four things, the four purposes of the Lord's incarnation of Lord Ram, as Lord Ram, that to kill Ravan, and second is to teach about prema, and thirdly to teach dharma, and fourthly to warn the devotees about being cautious of the attachment to the women. So I think I've covered almost all the points. So just another point which Prabhupada explains in this connection, The ninth canto is that, he says, according to Chanakya Niti, it is described that when a man is traveling, a man should not take his wife while he is traveling. He mentions that point. That because it will cause a lot of problems, he mentioned. But Lord Ram actually took his wife Sita when he went to the forest. When he was traveling, and that too when he was going in the forest. And then because of that he had to undergo so many tribulations. His wife was kidnapped and then he underwent so many tribulations. So he says that, Lord Ram actually is teaching that how when a person becomes attached to a wife, one has to actually undergo so many problems. So that is, in one sense, Bhagavatam's purport of Ramayana. So, this is like a little heavy purport of. So then, we'll go to the next verse. Navaisa atma atmavatam suhruttama saktas trilokyam bhagavan vasudeva nastri kritam kashmalam ashnuvita nalakshmanam chapi vihatum arhati.
Since Lord Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls, and he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife, nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshman, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible.
So, just we see, like, when we read the scriptures, we have to see from a divine point of view and also from a human point of view. So, if we see Lord Ram only from a human point of view, then we learn the lesson of how he was actually very religious, he was actually following the religious principles of discharging the responsibility of a husband. Or we can see how when a person is attached to opposite sex, one has to undergo tribulations. But we don't learn the lesson how the Lord is conquered by prema. If we see only from a human point of view. And if we see only from a divine point of view, we will learn only about the lesson of how the Lord is conquered by prema. But we will not learn the lesson of actually how one should be responsible in his duties or one should be cautious of maya. So therefore we have to see the pastime both from a human point of view and also from a divine point of view. So now the sixth verse actually gives an explanation of the transcendental explanation of the previous verse. So Lord Ram, Navaisa Atmat Mavatam Suhruttama. Lord Ram is the best friend of the devotee, Suhruttama. And he is full of six qualities as Bhagavan. And he is not attached to the three worlds. Asaktas Trilokyam. He is not attached to the three worlds. Otherwise, he should not have become bewildered by women and should not have given up Lakshman. So because previous verse described how Lord Ram was actually in Kutonyata Syat Ramatasva Atmana, he actually was in great separation from Sita. So here this verse explains that the transcendental position of how the Lord Ram crying out of separation from Sita is completely in the transcendental platform. So Vishnu Chakravarti explains that Lord Ram is the best friend of those for whom the Lord is the object of service, because he is full of six qualities, Bhagavan. If a person does not accept that the Lord is controlled by prema, that means if a person does not accept this fact of transcendental nature of the Lord, that he is controlled by prema, then he should not have fallen under illusion created by women like an ordinary person. Then we will think that actually, Lord is actually, he is also like an ordinary person attached to wife, if you may think like that. So therefore, he says that by this pastime, Lord taught both prema and dharma. How he was conquered by the love of his devotees, and he is also teaching dharma, how he is responsible, he is a responsible householder. And another pastime which actually Vishnu Chakravarti was mentioning in the purport, like in the Lord Ram at the end of his pastimes, once an advisor called as Devaduta informed Lord Ram, I think there was a meeting between Lord Ram and a sage, Durvasa Muni. So at that time Lord Ram told Lakshmana that you should stay outside this room. You should not allow anybody to enter this room. And if nobody should enter this room, you should not. Lord Ram was having actually meeting with. It's explained that. So the advisor Devaduta informed Lord Ram that Lord Ram should kill anyone who came in the room at that time. Of course, it's Vishnu Chakravarti was writing, but I heard from Ramayana that Lord Ram was having a meeting with, I think, Kala personified. That time he told Lakshman that you should not allow anybody to enter the room. But at that time, Durvasa Muni or some sage came to meet Lord Ram. Durvasa Muni came to meet. So Lakshman, understanding the nature of Durvasa Muni, he went and told Lord Ram. Because if Durvasa Muni curses, it will be a great havoc to the kingdom, etc. So he said, although Lord Ram has given the instruction, let me not follow the instruction, but for the betterment of the kingdom and others, let me actually break this instruction, let me go and inform Lord Ram. So, and then at that time, Lord Ram chastised Lakshman. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that at that time Vasishtha said Lord Ram that, give him up. So he says that Vishnu Chakravarti says, by this pastime Lord Ram taught prema and dharma. So anyway, actually this pastime has been clarified. But essentially what I want to highlight is that in the case of a leader, the responsibility of a leader is greater than the responsibility towards his particular wife. Like Lord Ram actually banished Sita from the kingdom because Dobi actually made some comment against Sita. So many people actually criticize this act of Lord Ram, but actually the proper understanding is that the responsibility of a leader is actually more important than the responsibility as a husband. So Lord Ram performed this pastime like that. So Lord Ram demonstrated that. In fact, if you read the Prabhupada's purport in that Atha Vishvesha Vishwatman Vishwamurte Svakeshume, that Queen Kunti's prayers in the first canto, Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Virishnishu. So Prabhupada explained the same principle in detail, that how in the case of a brahmana, king, etc., so they are supposed to be liberal-minded, they are supposed to be broad-minded in discharging the respective duties. So they should be more concerned about the responsibilities towards the greater mass of people than the responsibilities towards the family. So in that way, Lord Ram, when he banished Sita, he demonstrated his duty as a king. He demonstrated his dharma. So although he definitely is actually conquered by the love of Sita, but still he demonstrated his love towards Sita. So that actually this pastime is explained by Prabhupada in the purport, that Lord Ramachandra descended to teach human society how dutiful a king should be. He apparently gave up the company of Mother Sita and Lakshman. Factually, however, he could not have given them up. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his purport, he narrated the pastime of Lord Ram actually giving up, he wanting to give up Lakshman. Prabhupada, he narrates in his purport, he narrates the pastime of Lord Ram giving up Mother Sita, banishing Sita. And Prabhupada gives an explanation by saying that Lord Ram is demonstrating through these pastimes of giving up Lakshman and Sita how dutiful a king should be. So that's what he is demonstrating through these pastimes. So we'll just recite, we'll just quickly go through the next two verses and then end. So next two verses are very beautiful verses. Na janmanunam mahato na saubhagam na vaan na buddhir na kritisto shahetu tairyad vinishtan apino vanukasas chakara sakye bata lakshmanagraja.
One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramchandra on the basis of material qualities such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation.
So here it's explained, here this verse is actually offered, this prayer is offered by Sugriva. Because it's like Sugriva is saying, one cannot establish his relationship with the Supreme Lord simply based on material qualification like high birth, high qualities or beauty, etc. Because the reason is that we monkeys, we do not have good birth, we do not have good beauty, we do not have good qualities, but Lord Ram has accepted us as his friends. On the other hand, Lakshman has got good birth, good qualities, good beauty, etc., but Lord Ram has accepted Lakshman only as his servant. So this shows that actually these qualifications are not the actually the, these qualities are not the qualification for attaining the favor of the Lord. So Sugriva is actually appreciating the causeless mercy of Lord Ram. He's appreciating the causeless mercy of the Lord Ram that so therefore, basically the theme of this verse is that material qualities do not attract the Lord. What attracts the Lord is the spiritual qualification of devotion. So Prabhupada quotes this verse, Laulyam Ekam Moolyam. Rupa Goswami said the praise for achieving the God's favor is simply one sincere eagerness to have it. And then he quotes the story of Kolavecha Sridhar. So Kolavecha Sridhar was so fortunate, even Brahma and Shiva, they would shed tears by seeing the fortune of Kolavecha Sridhar, by seeing his greatness. That Kolavecha Sridhar was so poor, he had more holes in his shirt than actually the cloth. But Kolavecha Sridhar was having the wealth of the love of God. And he did not even have a brass pot to drink water, he only had an iron pot to drink water. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would spend every day at least 2 hours actually conversing with Kolavecha Sridhar, arguing with him, bargaining for the bananas. By seeing this mercy, this position of Kolavecha Sridhar, even Brahmaji would shed tears on seeing the position of Kolavecha Sridhar. So this demonstrates that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not attracted by some material qualifications, but only by the spiritual devotion and the sincerity and the eagerness of a particular person. So the same principle is actually spoken by Sugriva to Lord Ram, that we are monkeys, but Lord Ram has accepted us as friends. But on the other hand, he has accepted Lakshman as only as a servant, although he has got all so many wonderful qualities. So then he concludes by saying, Suro asuro vap atavanaro nara sarvatmanaya sukrutagya muttamam bhajetaramam manujakritim harim yavuttaran anayat koshalan divamiti.
Therefore, whether one is a demigod or a demon, a man or a creature other than man, such as beast or bird, everyone should worship Lord Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appear on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for he accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. Thus he is satisfied, and as soon as he is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Ramchandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to God at Vaikuntha.
So here he is concluding the prayer by saying, Therefore, everyone, whether a demigod or a human being or a demon, everyone with all one's mind, sarvatmana, by putting on all one's effort, one should worship Lord Ram. And what is the nature of Lord Ram? In the previous verse he talked about the causeless mercy of the Lord, and after, when we hear the causeless mercy of the Lord, then what should be the result? We should not take advantage of the mercy, but one should worship the Lord with sarvatmana, with all one's mind, with all one's heart. And especially the word sukritagyam is important. Here Sugriva is saying, the Lord sukritagya means one who can be easily made grateful. Kritagya means one who is grateful. Sukritagya means one who can be easily made grateful. In the sense that if a person does even little bit of service, Lord becomes very grateful even by the little bit of service. Bhajeta Ramam Manuja Kritim Harim Yavuttaran Anayat Koshalam Divamiti. Thus he is satisfied, and as soon as he is satisfied, the devotee is successful, and Lord Ram brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that actually even more merciful than Lord Ram is actually Lord Krishna. Even more merciful than Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he says that, so therefore the best purpose of the life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Shadbhuj Gauranga form, which actually includes Mahaprabhu, Krishna and Lord Ram. In this way he concludes. So I just want to mention, I just want to read through Vishnu Chakra's purport, and that Martyavatara mentions some more details, and then with that I will conclude that. And the Martyavatara Svihamarkya Sikshanam, that Lord appeared to teach Dharma and Prema to the devotees. So there is, he gives a detailed purport, I forgot to elaborate on that. One may get the question, when Lord Ram was actually crying in separation from Sita, one may get, how can the Supreme Lord lament in separation from Sita? How could he lament in separation from Sita? So then he says that actually when Lord Ram is crying separation from Sita, he is experiencing the Vipralamba rasa from Sita. He is exhibiting his Vipralamba bhava, which is actually the sthayi bhava of prema, which is actually the symptom of prema. He is exhibiting that. It is not some material separation which a man feels in separation from his wife. This separation, this Vipralamba rasa, is the highest of all the bliss. Actually, you cannot call this as a material emotion, because by nature the Lord is actually Atma Rama, self-satisfied. So then one may get the question, if Lord Ram is actually self-satisfied, then how can he enjoy Sita? You are saying, if Lord Ram is self-satisfied, then how can he enjoy Sita? He does not need the enjoyment of Sita only. So then Vishnu Chakravarti answers by saying, actually, Sita is not something separate from Lord Ram. Sita is actually part of his own personality. Sita is part of his own Swarupa Shakti. So when Lord Ram is enjoying his Sita, he does not contradict his quality of being Atma Ram, because it is part of his own self. She is part of his own self. Then one may get the question, if Sita is part of his own Swarupa Shakti, then why should he experience separation? If she is part of his own Swarupa, then why should he experience separation? So then he answers by saying, actually, by a particular function of the Chit Shakti, by the great power known as Prema, the one supreme tattva remains divided in two parts without beginning in time. Since time immemorial, the one absolute truth remains divided in two parts. One is the ashraya and another is the internal energy of Vishaya and Ashraya. The internal energy of the Lord and the Supreme Lord. The one part is bliss with six powers, and the other part is pure bliss. One is the Supreme Lord and another is his consort. The first part is called the Supreme Lord and the second part is called the devotee. Then again, the energy, the internal energy of the Lord divides into four functions of his prema. That is Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. So the internal energy divides into four forms, and in order to reciprocate the Supreme Lord in these different four rasas. And then he says that, when the jivas of the material world, by good fortune, when they begin practice bhakti, when their bhakti matures, then their prema appears on its own. And then the jivas are placed in one of these four moods. In the appropriate time, they actually experience this love with the Supreme Lord. So then he explains, Vishnu Chakratakur says that this prema, it sometimes separates the Supreme Lord from its internal energy, so that the Supreme Lord and the internal energy can actually experience the Vipralamba Bhava. So one should not actually misunderstand this. Actually, the internal energy of the Lord, the prema actually separates the Lord from his consort so that they can actually experience the Vipralamba Bhava. And the devotee experiences the most astonishing bliss by tasting the unparalleled, most extraordinary sweetness of prema. So essentially, when the Lord is experiencing separation from his consort, it appears like a material emotion, but it's a completely spiritual emotion. Just like sugar candy and alum both appear same. Alum is like a poor man's aftershave, like that. But both are actually completely different. When you actually bite alum, you will not actually taste sweet. Or nimbu fool and sugar, both may appear same. But when you put nimbu fool on milk, then the milk will get split. So in the same way, Vishnu Chakradhara is giving this detailed explanation to show that when Lord Rama is experiencing the separation from Sita, it is actually the work of his internal energy. The prema actually separated Lord Ram from his concert so that they can actually experience the taste of Vipralamba Bhava. So in this way, the prayers of, at least we could complete the prayers of Kimpurusha Varsha, and the last section of this chapter will be discussed tomorrow. So I'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Thank you.